Hello. In this week's parsha, Parsha Shoftim, we have laws. The Torah outlines laws of going to war. And we're going to focus specifically on one pasuk and one mitzvah that Chazal derive from this pasuk. So the pasuk tells us in Parachof, pasuk Yod Tes, ready? Kishatzur el ir yamim rabim, when you besiege a city for many days, lehilachem alaha letafsa, to wage war against it, to seize it, lo sashchis es etza, you shall not destroy its trees, lindoach alav garzen, by swinging an axe against it, kimimeno sochel, because from it you eat, va'oso lo sichros, and therefore it you shall not cut down, ki adam etz hasada, because is then the tree of the field, amen, laval mi panecha bimatzar, that it should enter the siege before you. So we have here, Rashi says, this means an expression of perhaps, is the tree of the field perhaps, amen, that it should be included in the besieged town because of you, to suffer the tribulations of hunger and thirst like the people of the city? Why should you destroy it? That is Rashi to this pasuk, parak chav, pasuk yates. So here we have, in the midst of the halachas of going to war, an imperative, a biblical imperative, not to cut down a fruit-bearing tree. It's interesting that in the context of war, the Torah is talking about trees. You know, you would think if there's casualties of war, Rahmana Litzlan, so who cares about the trees? But that's not the Torah perspective. Kosh Baruch Hu is concerned with each and every bria, each and every creation, and each and every component of his natural world. I quote from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Levracha, in Covenant and Conversation on the Book of Devarim. And Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks writes as follows: in the course of setting out the laws of war, the Torah adds a seemingly minor detail that becomes the basis of a much wider field of human responsibility and is of major consequence today. The passage concerns a military campaign that involves laying siege to a city. As the verses say, when you lay siege to a city for a long time, fighting against it to capture it, do not destroy its trees by putting an axe to them, because you can eat their fruit. Do not cut them down. Are the trees people that you should besiege them? However, you may cut down trees that you know are not fruit-bearing trees and use them to build siege works until the city at war with you falls. That's Pesukim Yates through Chaf. War, the Torah implies, is inevitably destructive. I'm quoting Rabbi Sacks. That is why Judaism's highest value is shalom, peace. Nonetheless, there's a difference between necessary and needless destruction. The Torah here is telling you that trees are a source of wood for siege work, but some trees, specifically those that bear fruit, are also a source of food. Therefore, do not destroy them. Do not needlessly deprive yourself and others of a productive resource, fruit-bearing trees. Do not engage in a scorched earth tactic in the course of war. The sages learn from this mitzvah d'oraisa something much more general as well. They call this the rule of Baal Tashchis, the prohibition against needless destruction of any kind. And from here, they learn out a much broader law, not only in regard to not cutting down fruit trees in a time of war, but as the Rambam codifies it in Mishneh Torah Hilchos Malachim. And again, I'm quoting from Rabbi Sacks. I did not look up the Rambam, but I'm quoting from Rabbi Sacks. He quotes the Rambam. Not only does this apply to trees, but also whoever breaks vessels or tears garments, destroys a building, blocks a wellspring of water, or destructively wastes food, transgresses the command of Baal Tashchis. Therefore, we see that this mitzvah in our parsha is the halachic basis of an ethic of ecological responsibility. And now Rabbi Sacks is going to teach us something so beautiful in regard to three mitzvos and how we can apply the reasoning, I should say the teaching of the Torah, to three mitzvos: Shabbos, the Shemitah year, and the Yovel year. Okay, continuing with Rabbi Sacks, he quotes a medrash from Medrash Rabbah on Koheles. When God made man, he showed him the display of creation, and God said to man, "See all my works, how beautiful they are. All I have made for you. Take care, therefore, you do not destroy my world, for if you do destroy my world, there will be no one left to mend what you have destroyed." That's Medrash Eicha Rabbah, Parsha Zayim. Not Eicha Rabbah, I'm sorry. Koheles Rabbah. Says Rabbi Sacks, environmental responsibility seems to be one of the principles underlying the three great commands of periodic rest. He's going to show us how these three great commands of periodic rest, Shabbos, the weekly rest, the sabbatical year, every 7 years rest, and the Jubilee, Yovel, every 50 years rest, all have at their heart environmental responsibility, which we learn from "Don't cut down the fruit tree." Here we go. What about Shabbos? On Shabbos, all agricultural work is forbidden, like the Pasuk tells us in Mishpatim, so that your ox and your donkey may rest. Not only do you need to rest, your ox and your donkey also rest. Shabbos sets a limit to our intervention in nature and the pursuit of economic growth. We remind ourselves with Shabbos that we are creations. We are not only creators. For 6 days, the earth is handed over to us and we labor. But on the seventh day, we perform no work. Namely, we cannot do any action that alters the state of something for human purposes. Shabbos is a weekly reminder of the integrity of nature and the limits of human striving. Shabbos. What about Shemitah? What Shabbos does for humans and animals, the Shemitah and Yovel years do for the land of Israel. The earth, too, is entitled to periodic rest. The Torah warns us, if the Bnei Yisrael do not respect this, they will suffer exile. Like we learn in Vayikra, Chavav, the terrible calls of Bichukosai. The land shall make up for its sabbatical years throughout the time that it is desolate, when you are in the land of your enemies. Then the land will rest and make up for all the sabbatical years it did not rest when you transgressed Shemitah. Behind this are two concerns, says Rabbi Sachs. One, what's behind Shemitah? Two concerns. One, environmental. As the Rambam points out, land which is overexploited eventually erodes and loses its fertility. The Israelites were therefore commanded to conserve the soil. And how do we do so? We give it periodic years to lie fallow. We do not pursue short-term gain at the cost of long-term desolation. That's a Rambam in Guide for the Perplexed, Mor Nevuchim. However, the second is a theological concern. So the first lesson of Shemitah is don't abuse nature. Don't overwork the land. Nature is mine, says God. It is not yours. We too are guests here. And therefore, the second, no less significant, says Rabbi Sachs, is a theological lesson. The land, says God, is mine. You are but strangers and temporary residents with me. We are guests on earth. So when it comes to Shabbos, which is the periodic rest, all agricultural work is forbidden for us and our animals. It teaches us that we think, the whole week we think we're mighty creators. Shabbos comes along and it says, take a step back. You are not creators, you are creations. For 6 days, I lend you the earth, so to speak. But on the seventh day, we may not alter the state of something for human purposes. Shabbos reminds us of the integrity of nature and the limits of human striving. And then when it comes to Shemitah, we're talking about the land of Israel itself. So on the one hand, the land needs an environmental rest. The Rambam teaches in Mor Nevuchim that if the land is overworked, ultimately the land will be destroyed. And therefore, once again, God reminds us that it is He who is behind nature, He who is behind creation, and the land must rest in order to attain environmental health and integrity. Furthermore, says Rabbi Sachs, Shemitah teaches us something else, a theological lesson. The land belongs to God. We are only guests on earth. And thirdly, another set of commands is directed against over-interference with nature. Wait, by the way, I'm sorry. That's both Shemitah and Yovel. That's both Shemitah and Yovel. In fact, Rabbi Sachs' first sentence on that paragraph is, what Shabbat does for humans and animals, the sabbatical and jubilee years do for the land. Okay, so point number two is regarding Shemitah and Yovel years. Seventh year, and then the 49th and 50th year. Every 7 years, and then 49, 50 back to back. And finally, another set of commands is directed against over-interference with nature. The Torah forbids cross-breeding livestock, planting a field with mixed seed, Parshas Kedoshim, and wearing a garment of mixed wool and linen. These rules are called chukim. Why can I plow with an ox and a donkey together? Why can I mix the seeds all up in the field? Why can I wear shanas, wool and linen together? These are chukim. Rav Shamsher and Fall Hirsch understood chukim to be laws that respect the integrity of nature. They represent the principle that the same regard which you show to man, you must demonstrate to every lower creature, to the earth, which bears and sustains all, and to the world of plants and animals. Chukim are a kind of social justice applied to the natural world. They ask us to regard all living things as God's property. Therefore, we must destroy nothing. We can abuse nothing. We must waste nothing and employ and utilize all things wisely. Look upon all creatures as servants in the household of creation. It's a teaching of Rav Hirsch as quoted by Rabbi Sachs. Why can't we crossbreed livestock? Why can't we plant a field with mixed seed? Why can't we wear a garment of wool and linen? Because Rav Hirsch explains, it comes to make us realize that just like Hashem created human beings, He also created nature. He created animals, He created fish, He created trees, He created the whole natural world. And therefore, these chukim, which are laws that respect the integrity of nature, ask us to regard all of God's living things as Hashem's property. Destroy none, abuse none, waste nothing, employ all things wisely. And therefore, says Rabbi Sacks, it was no accident that Jewish law interpreted the prohibition against cutting down fruit-bearing trees in the course of war as an instance of a more general prohibition against needless destruction, and more generally still against acts that deplete Earth's non-renewable resources or that damage the ecosystem or lead to the extinction of species. It's extremely powerful because we live in a day and age, Baruch Hashem, where we have so much plenty. The downside is that sometimes there's more waste than ever. It's difficult sometimes. You see things being wasted, whether it's large quantities of food of simchas, large quantities of clothing that we buy, sometimes the needless littering in schoolyards or cities. Sometimes we don't appreciate Hashem's world enough. And the law against cutting down a fruit-bearing tree in the course of war is not only teaching us about a fruit-bearing tree in the course of war, because I'll say there's a much broader prohibition going on here. And it's called Baltashchis. Baltashchis means there should be no needless destruction. It's forbidden by Torah. We must not deplete the earth's non-renewable resources. We must not damage the ecosystem knowingly. We must not do actions that lead to the extinction of species. All of this reminds us we are not the owners of our resources. They belong not to us, but to the eternal and eternity. Hence, we may not needlessly destroy. We may not needlessly destroy. If this applies even in war, how much more so in times of peace? We are guardians of the earth on behalf of its creator for the sake of future generations. It's very powerful in a day and age in which we live when there is so much environmental destruction, desecration. And it's interesting, Rabbi Zev Lefschlita points out that the word hateva, nature, hateva, the natural world, is gematria of Shem Elokim, Aleph, then Lamed, then Hey, then Yod, then Mem, hateva, and Elokim with a Hey, both equal 86. To remind us that all that we see in the natural world, hateva, is not ours, but it belongs to Elohim, which is the name in Perak Alpha Bereshis used, God who creates the natural world. It's not only not to cut down a fruit tree in times of war, it's a halacha and a mitzvah that has so much application in our lives. We must be careful to appreciate everything the Ribono Shel Olam gives us and not to waste needlessly and not be over this Isser D'Oraisa. Okay, thank you everybody. I wish you a wonderful day. Kol Tov and Be'ezrat Hashem, Shabbat Shalom.